Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a simple message today, I think, as my colleague Matthew and I used to remind each other of often. It's a simple thing, loving your neighbor as yourself. It's just not easy. If I had a title for this sermon, I'd call it More God, Less World. And if I were to posit a theme from today's lections, I'm concentrating on Jeremiah and the reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, I'd say that that theme might have to do with competing narratives. In the reading from the Old Testament, we have a snippet of something we might call a prophetic showdown. Two prophets campaigning for their opposing views. Jeremiah proposing that Israel submit to the yoke of the Babylonians, and the prophet Hananiah proposing revolt. In the reading from Romans, we have what sounds like a soliloquy, but nonetheless taken in its context. It's an argument between Paul and his opponents, the other apostles, about what actually leads us to holiness, to a word that we use in the church, a word called sanctification. For Paul's opponents, the process that leads to sanctification, to holiness, is adherence to the law. And for Paul, the process begins with the acceptance of God's grace in baptism and continues from that point forward. So while back in the day, God's prophets argued about which process would really lead to peace, shortly after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the apostles argued about which or what process leads to real and holy life with God. Competing narratives about how to achieve what was and still is in the religious world the same goal for all of us, finding the peace of God in this world. At the end of the passage from the Old Testament reading, Jeremiah basically says that the proof is in the pudding. The war is not the answer. Prophet says that there have been people like Hananiah saying that war is the answer for generations. Going back to the ancient times, war after war, yet war persists, Jeremiah says. So here we are, case closed. Paul's argument essentially follows the same reasoning, that being that if after all these generations of trying to keep the Torah were going to work, they would have done so by now. Just take a look around. Paul's argument is like that old quip about the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. Paul maintains that the law cannot change people, but grace can. And that grace isn't the end, but only the beginning of living into a new system, a system dominated by forgiveness, by generosity, and by love, rather than by domination, by exploitation, or by perpetual and failed efforts at turning over a new leaf. When we leave the old system, when we enter into the new one, Paul says, we begin to live into what he calls eternal life. That's not life after death, and so I think it's better to call this as described as living eternally. Through the forgiveness of God, proclaimed at our baptism in Christ, we enter into a new way of living, and the temptation to sin is overcome by the temptation for goodness or holiness. Sanctification, the old way of living, the way of death, is turned in for a new way of living that leads to a richer, a fuller, a better life. Not a life without pain and suffering and loss, mind you, but life with the crucified and risen Lord. I can remember teaching Paul's argument, one that would eventually become one of the principal doctrinal affirmations of our church in an adult education class many years ago when I was freshly minted. That by baptism and by grace through faith, all is forgiven, all day, every day. And that in that forgiveness, we are invited and propelled into new life. A hand went up in the back of the room. No matter what we do, Father? Yes. No matter what we do, I said. Then where's the incentive to stop sinning? They replied, looking a little baffled, maybe even upset. His face turned a little bit red. I don't know what I poked, but I poked something. Paul's opponents were baffled too. But Paul stuck to his conviction that the wages of sin and death are the wages and the wages. I'm sorry, I couldn't email myself the sermon. You'll hear more about that from Emily. I'm not used to reading from this screen. Paul's opponents were baffled too. But Paul stuck to his conviction that the wages of sin are death and the wages of love well up to eternal life, to eternal living. That we can't overcome sin by not sinning, but rather by accepting the forgiveness of God in the mystery that is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that the only way to experience that mystery is to live into that kind of forgiveness and compassion with our own lives, for better and for worse. If we follow Paul's logic, if we take a look around, we might wonder, if Paul were here, what he'd be thinking. It's just a little shy of 2,000 years later, and the new system doesn't seem to be working any better than the old one, does it? It doesn't seem like Christianity has fared any better than Judaism in reducing our capacity for sin. Our dilemma hasn't changed. Sin abounds. Was Paul wrong? Can it be that we can overcome sin, but that we just aren't trying hard enough, praying hard enough, beating ourselves up enough? Is punishment, after all, a more effective deterrent than is forgiveness? Think about your own life. Might war actually be the way towards peace? The great thinker Augustine addressed this dilemma in his day with his own form of competing narratives. Augustine's narratives were different because they didn't share the same goals. Augustine maintained that there are two forces at work in the world, both vying for and needing our devotion and our participation: the city of God and the city of the world. But Augustine's thinking led to doctrines like just war theory, ways of maintaining our faith in God's hope for the world, while at the same time participating in actions that seemed antithetical to that hope, or to the teachings of Jesus Christ. We must live in both these worlds, Augustine maintained, because both of these worlds are, in fact, our reality. In thinking done a little bit closer to our own day, Reinhold Niebuhr replaced the early theories of just war that were condoned by Augustine and then Thomas Aquinas and John Calvin with the idea of something he called Christian realism. Christian realism maintains that while the command for radical forgiveness and ultimately to pacifism are clearly present in the teachings of Jesus, the radical nature of teachings such as those found in the Sermon on the Mount are nonetheless utopian. Utopian and therefore not practical in human society. These teachings, Niebuhr maintained, must be moderated by a pragmatic or a realistic ethic of responsibility that requires choices of lesser and necessary evils on behalf of the community. In the end, I think Niebuhr might say, although we must participate and make our less than ethical choices as we live in this world, that doesn't mean they're not sinful. Doesn't mean they don't come at a cost. A cost to ourselves, a cost to others. Our recent adult forum series on war brought this to light in profound ways. And around and around and around we go. So you'll probably agree that we're not going to figure this out today. I don't know so much about Augustine or Niebuhr, but I'm pretty darn sure Paul was right. That we must endeavor to live into a new system because the old one isn't working. Or maybe considering the teachings of Augustine and Niebuhr, it would be better to say that we must live into a new system because the other one is still at work and showing no signs of giving up. I also don't think that it's a fluke that on the day that we will baptize a new convert to the faith, Armis Sadri, the lectionary has given us Paul's core teaching on the power of baptism to change the way we live in the world as a biblical text. You're a lucky girl. Armis is from Iran, has recently completed a degree in law, and as of today begins living a life in both of those worlds. City of God, city of the world. In our time of silence and in response to the gospel, as we prepare to reaffirm our own baptismal covenant, let us pray for Armis. Ponder the ways we might live with more forgiveness and less judgment, more prayer, more love, more God, less world. Amen.